John 15. It begins, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full.
It's our joy and privilege to open the Word of God once more. And so let's open it up, please, to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Now, if you have a very pretty good memory, you know that in the middle, almost in the middle of the year this year, April 10 to be exact, I preached this sermon in the morning service. But as I was thinking of this privilege this evening to preach and looking back on where we are now, we are at the end of 2022 and looking forward to 2023 and looking at this message and reading it and assessing my life in lieu of what we're having tonight, I think it's a pretty good exercise to ask, how have I applied this passage this year? How have I applied the principles that we have learned together in the concept of abiding in Christ this year? How have I lived as a Christian in abiding in Christ? If you're going to give yourself a grade, A minus, wow, congratulations. You received a medal from Pastor Jan this evening. Maybe B, Pastor, almost there, but you know, sometimes I forget to do the specific things. C, D, maybe F, Pastor, F. I'll preach that again. Come on, let me hear that sermon again. Well, we will tonight. What we'll do is we'll run through the passage and look for important concepts as the foundational truths for abiding in Christ. And as the time will permit us this evening, we'll delve into more the concepts of specific disciplines that we need to look at as we have a forward look for 2023. How can we apply this passage in a very practical way? Let's read the passage once again. I am the true vine, says Christ, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Father, I pray that you now refresh our minds with the principles of your word about abiding. And help us, Lord, to look with an exciting focus for the days, weeks, months, and years ahead, knowing that you have provided the strength and the grace already for us to obey these principles, so that, Lord, we will have a victorious life for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Point number one here we need to understand about abiding is, of course, the meaning of abiding. There's a lot of kind of like fruit salad of people trying to say what abiding in Christ truly is. But if you look at the passage here this morning, dearly beloved, here in John 15, 1 through 11, and even other passages as well, of course, Christ gives us here a parable. Christ uses the picture of a vine or a vineyard. In it are key items which represent vital aspects in the life of a disciple of Christ. We find the vine, of course, and then we find the branches there mentioned as well, verse number 5. And we also find the vine dresser. Now quickly, what's the vine? What's the vine? Verse 1 says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Here, Jesus Christ plainly states it. And no need for Greek. No need for further explanation here. Clear as crystal. I, says Christ, am the true vine. The true vine is the source of all branches. The vine is where the branches connect. Because it is the one that gives life to the branches. And the picture here is the vine that is strong, that is large, sturdy. And that is Christ Jesus. He calls himself indeed the true vine. In fact, one of the I ams of Christ is this specific words here. I am the true vine. And here, of course, the branches I have already mentioned, these are the ones that connect to the vine. And the branch cannot reproduce fruit, you know, be fruitful. And as a disciple of Christ, if you are not abiding in Christ in so much the same way, you will not be fruitful. Because life comes from that vine. The branches, of course, are either good for bearing fruit, verse number 2, or for burning, verse number 6. So the branches here are clear as well. These are the disciples of Christ. They are those who are attached to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we discussed last time, of course, as well, that there is much debate about the passage here, talking about, but why is there burning here of branches? I thought this is for a Christian, so why are they burning? This is a symbol of one that is of a Christian that will still be burned in the lake of fire. Of course not, dearly beloved. Christ's teaching about salvation is indeed that there is now no more condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. No punishment anymore is the destiny of a Christian. No. Ours is a destiny of eternal life and eternal bliss and joy and in heavenly places, says the Word of God. So, what is this, dearly beloved? This is a picture of the burning here. The burning here is a picture of those who may have outwardly, superficially, kind of like an attachment with Christ, but in reality, there is none. We know that in churches, there are people who claim to be Christians, as you do, as do I. But you see, the sad reality is that there are who claim that they're Christians, but they're not truly Christians. They're not truly disciples of Christ. And so, because they are not disciples of Christ, they're not attached to the vine. They are fruitless, and they will be cast out and burned. There will be burnt branches representing those who outwardly are attached to Christ, but in reality, they don't have salvation. Their sins weren't forgiven. They don't have eternal life. They're not sealed by the Holy Spirit. And there are many kinds of disciples today There's a lot of talks, of course, from them. There's a lot of ministries coming out from their lives. But, of course, God will reveal their true identity. And Matthew 7 is a good passage to check about that. To those that are burned, but the real branches attached to Christ, they will not be burned. Not be burned. The third item, of course, is vine dresser. And in verse 1, we go back there and we are again clearly taught that the Father, the Heavenly Father, is the vine dresser. He's in charge of caring for the vines and the branches. And the vine dresser here has two primary actions. Purging or taking away of the fruitless branches, throwing them into the fire. And number two, pruning the fruitful branches so that they will produce more fruit. Now, purging and pruning are both painful processes. But the vine dresser, who's an expert and who's loving and wise and caring, does it with utmost care for the branch. Pruning, of course, results to progression, as what you will see here in the verses as following 2 and 3 and 4, that there will be from no fruit, to more fruit, to much fruit. And of course, Dilip Labrador is a pastor. That's my joy to see, you know, somebody coming from a life of no fruit, to more. But you know, if there's one person who's even more overjoyed, it's God. Because that's His work. And so, when God sees a life from no fruit, to more fruit, to much fruit, as that life abides in Christ, oh, the joy of Christ. Just as the Heavenly Father. As the Heavenly Father, dearly beloved. And so to keep in fellowship with Christ so that life, so His life can work in and through us, is to produce fruit. So that's the meaning here of the foundational truths here of abiding in Christ. Now, how? The manner of abiding in Christ. Of course, we mentioned here verses 3 and 7, the word is important. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Look at verse number 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. We abide in Christ when we put ourselves under the convicting and cleansing power of the word. We have just read this morning Psalm 19. The powerful word working through a life. Hebrews 4:12. Sword, double-edged sword. John 17:17. Sanctify us by your word. Your word is truth, says the Bible. It is the word of God, dearly beloved. When we spend time with it, that will truly give us that opportunity to be cleansed, to be sanctified, to be more mature in our walk. But not only the word of God, because verse number 7 also tells us that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. What does it talk about? It's about prayer. When you're asking the Lord, you're spending time with God in communion. So we abide in Christ when we purposely separate moments of prayer, both in secrecy and in community. That's why from the words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, he says that there must be prayers made as the church is gathered. That's a part of that. But at the same time, there must also be in the life of a disciple of Christ, time of private prayer. So those are the manner of abiding in Christ. And we'll talk more about that at the last portion of our time together in the Word tonight. But let's jump to the marks of abiding in Christ. So how will you know if you're truly abiding in Christ? You claim to be a disciple of Christ. You claim to be a follower of Christ. You claim to be a Christian, that you're truly attached to the vine. But what are the evidences? Well, number one, fruitfulness. We talked already about from no fruit to fruit to more fruit. Too much fruit. Verses 2 and 5 talks about that. In other words, the mark or evidence of abiding in Christ is that your life, my life, is progressively bearing fruit. The direction of our lives is that. We're not regressing that, you know, all 2 years. Oh, you know what, young people, when I was there in your, we were doing it all. We're doing this and we're doing that. Then you ask, well, what are you doing now? And he said, Well, it's your time. There's no such thing, something like that in the Bible that says, oh, because I'm 60, now it's your time. No. The life of a believer is from no fruit, to more fruit, to much fruit. There is no retirement in bearing fruit. There is no retirement in abiding in Christ. There is a direction of bearing more and much fruit. Then verse 11 tells us these words. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Not only fruitfulness, but joyfulness. Are you a Christian who's becoming more joyful in your life? You know, gladness and joy is one of those evidences that Christ resides. In fact, I've been listening to a song this past few days, which is entitled, Jesus, the Center of My Joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. Is Jesus the center of your joy? That is the evidence. But the menace of that abiding in Christ, verse number 5. I am the vine, you are the branches, he abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. What is the menace here? The spiritual pest here. The annoyance here that will not go away if you're not too careful with your Christian life. The menace of the deception of self-sufficiency. That's the menace. That I can go on with my Christian life, with my life, without truly having an intentionality in abiding with Christ. Because Christ here just clearly says, without me, you can do nothing. Many of us are running on empty. Sadly. As we look back in this year, have you done that? And you just think of, oh, I was able to do it. And I was just fine. I was just able to handle work and church and family and ministry. But you know, down deep inside, the fruitfulness there and the joy were not there because you were just trying to like, what's the word I'm looking for? You're just trying to, that's it. Just run an empty. Just trying to just like push and push. Just continue to push. You know, it will just happen. You know? But you know, there's no fruitfulness. There's no joy. That's why when we go home sometimes, we're cranky. Like, oh, I worked, I'm doing ministry, and this is what I have? Just him? You know? Oh, look at this house. This is such a, look at this. Is this what I deserved? See, there's no fruitfulness. There's no joy. Because we're running on empty because we think we can do it ourselves. But the motive of abiding in Christ, verse 8, of course, clear as the sunshine. What's the motive here? What should be the aim of this? By this, my Father is glorified, that you may bear fruit, much fruit, so you will be my disciples. What's the motive? What's the aim? What's the goal of abiding in Christ? The glory of God. The word there is doxazo, where we get our English word doxology, meaning to honor, to praise, and to worship. An abiding life in Christ with results to fruitfulness glorifies the Father. These are the important principles of abiding in Christ. This next portion is where we take these principles and find our lives, where can we apply them in a very intentional and specific way. All S's, so that we will be able to remember them quickly. Number one, the discipline of silence. The world is becoming more noisy. Have you noticed? Noisier and noisier. I'm glad Australia is not so noisy compared to the Philippines, to be honest. Especially the Blue Mountains. It's so quiet out here. So quiet out here. I love it here. But you know, the world is becoming more noisier and noisier. And it has its way of giving us a lot of reasons to be noisy. You know, and to fill our lives with a lot of those blurred noise. But you know what? The Word of God talks about the opposite. Silence. Unhurried, special times of silence. And you know what? It's not about the place. Because even if you're in the Blue Mountains, you can still be a person who is cluttered with a lot of noise of life. So it's not about place. I can see that because I can carry with me the old lifestyle of the noisy life that I had and just carry it with me. But I just thank the Lord that this passage really encouraged me. Psalm 46 verse 10 tells us what? Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Oh, the psalmist has a lot of words to say about silence. Even Psalm 62 verse 5 tells us, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. For my hope is from Him. Just type the word silence and you will have verse upon verse upon verse upon verse. It's time to turn off that TV. It's time to turn off that YouTube channel. It's time to turn off those things that clutter and gives a lot of noise in our lives. Because silence is an important part of abiding in Christ. Most people feel uncomfortable with silence. You notice that in the Philippines, whenever we have dinners, talk, and then suddenly if it's quiet, they will say, oh, there's an angel that walked by. Because we're not comfortable with silence. We don't know what to do with silence. But as Christians, if we are abiding in Christ, we need to understand we need silence as we focus on God. So what do you do when you, okay, Pastor John, I'm here now. You know, this is going to be Monday morning, okay? I'm waking up before. I'm waking up earlier. That's what I usually do. I want to spend time in silence. What do I do? Focus on God. What more? How more can it be best done when open the Word? And in the silence of the morning, maybe there's a chirp, 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 chirp of the birds and, you know, maybe your mom cooking some breakfast or whatever there. But because, of course, she loves you. She wants you to eat something before you go off. But there in your room, you be still and know that He is God. The discipline of silence. But number two is kind of related to it. The discipline of solitude. Solitude. Here is another thing that is really kind of uncomfortable. People don't like to be alone. Because they don't know again what to do when they're alone. But as Christians, in this specific topic of abiding in Christ, in chapter 15 of John, we see here verses that will have an implication that we are encouraged to go to God alone in the solitude of our lives. Here, he says, if you abide in me, in verse 7, and my words abide in you, shall ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. What is Christ talking about here? Moments of prayer. And isn't Christ the best example for that? That in the middle of his ministries for 3 years, he would be busy preaching and teaching, being with people, but he would what? He would what? Go to the mountain alone. To what? To pray. They would spend time with the Heavenly Father. Luke 6 tells us that in these days, he went out to the mountain to pray. And all night, he continued in prayer to God. Solitude. We need to have unhurried times of solitude. Now, it's different when you say, okay, you all go out and go to the playground and all that because I need to work here. I need to think of that. No, I'm not talking about that. You need that too. But when you're talking about abiding in Christ, spending time alone, maybe with your Bible open, with a hymnal open. You know what? If you want to get a hymnal or two here, go ahead. They're just in the cabinet during the week. And we won't need them on Sundays because we have more. We have a lot. Even if we're going to use them, please get one. Because the third is a discipline of singing. When you want to abide with Christ, you also want to worship. You want to worship. Please take out this idea that worship happens only on a Sunday morning at 10:30 and Sunday evening at 5. and if I'm available Wednesday at 7. You know? No! No! Worship! And I just wore the word sing because I want to be on the S, right? But what I'm really driving at is not just singing, but worship. A worshipful life worships every day. And therefore, they are connected, right? Silence, solitude, singing, aka worship, must be there. And again, the word of God is embedded there. Prayer is embedded there because you worship by what? Reading the word and prayer. And there, singing. Now this morning, I won't tell you who I talked to, but she said, oops, I said she. Now you know, it's a lady. I just make a joyful noise unto the Lord, Pastor. I'm not really, you know, because of, you know, I just make, and we concluded, yeah, just make a joyful noise. Whatever comes out of your mouth, if you define it as noise, but hey, if it's for the Lord, it's joyful noise. And God delights hearing you sing. God delights in having you worship Him. Would it be a blessed time if you have this opportunity that you intentionally give yourself to worship God every day? It's not you're not coming to church on Sunday, you know, I'm very hungry, or I'm really like, no. It becomes a part of your life, so much so that you don't come to Sunday because you're very hungry. That's a good attitude, that you're very hungry for the Word of God, but that you come to Sunday on Sundays because it's already a part of you. You cannot come. Silence, solitude, singing, simplicity. The doctrine, the discipline of simplicity. If you truly want to abide in Christ, dearly beloved, you need to be able to develop the backbone to say no to a complicated life. No to a complicated life. The complicated life is a life that runs after things that really, in eternity view, they don't matter. They don't matter. What's that? We discussed that in 1 Timothy. Love of money. What's that? Trying to serve two masters. What do you get from that? Really? Aside from when you're 40, you need already to take your amlodipine. Because you're running about these things and it's having to serve two masters in your life. And so your hypertension is really up and you have all of these diseases already because you just live a complicated life. But the Bible talks about a simple life where your heart is focused. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your life is focused on things that matter, on things that you can really say, I am investing for eternity. Simplicity of life. Where you value the things that matter the most for Christ. Young people, I'm telling you right now, you have a long life ahead of you. I hope you learn this now before you get in the rut of the complexity of life. It's harder when you're already there and when you're running after all of these things and you don't know how to say no and to prioritize the simplicity of an abiding life in Christ. Many Christian soldiers have been wounded in this area. Many young people have left the church because of this specific thing. They have chosen the complex life because they think, and the next S is, satisfaction is found there, but never. Talk to your parents. They will tell you that. Maybe they will tell you a lesson or two on what they learned from their own life. That they will say probably, oh, how I wish I could go back and redo that part of my life wherein I knew I had a choice Will I have this kind of life? Yes, I will have more money. I will have more things, but I will have a complex life away from God. Or I will have a life that is too complicated for me to truly abide in Christ in the truest sense of what John 15 says. Or I should have chosen simple life. Yeah, maybe I'm not the richest as I am. Maybe not the more famous in the office. But I know that my life truly abides in Christ. Oh, dear young person, I hope now you decide. Because you know the world, very cunning. Very cunning. It will present you with a lot of things with the lure that it's going to be okay. It's going to be better here. It's greener here. You know, it's more joyful here. It's shinier here. It's more successful here. But don't be deceived. Because the complexity of life in the worldliness and sinfulness of it will never bring true abiding in Christ. But I mentioned the discipline of satisfaction. We have sung that, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Abiding in Christ is choosing Christ and the satisfaction He brings. That's why your energy, your joy, your satisfaction comes from where? The vine. That's why abiding in Christ is so important for you. Not all of these other things. No, abiding in Christ. You cannot live a day without applying this principle in a very practical way. You cannot have a day without having a time of silence in your life, having a time of solitude in the Word of God in prayer, and having you singing worship. You can't. Because you know, if you do that, the rest of the day just doesn't add up. As a Christian, it's just not what the life of that Christ would have us live. Because true satisfaction comes only in abiding in Christ. But the last S in this concept of abiding is surrender. Surrender. Paul tells the Roman believers in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's a word there, sacrifice, but I would like to summarize these two verses with one word, and I surrender. You're surrendering to God. Here, the concept is presenting your bodies a living sacrifice. And you know what sacrifices are in the past? In the culture of the Jews, when they go to the temple, they sacrifice. And when they sacrifice, the best explanation of that, of course, is that you kill that sacrifice and that sacrifice will no longer be yours. It's God's now. You know? You don't sacrifice there and then you know you're gonna have this concept, oh, I'll take it back home. No, you can't do that. But here we are talking about living sacrifice. We are alive. That's living. And our lives are like that lamb. Like that lamb that's being sacrificed. A sweet smelling savor to God. It's an acceptable sacrifice before God. And so what you're saying is, if you want to abide in Christ, your life must be that of surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Saying, Lord, like a lamb, I'm dead to myself. I'm alive in you. So do whatever it pleases you today. That's abiding in Christ. Oh, dearly beloved, there's a lot of struggle in life which does not result to abiding in Christ because surrender is the last straw. The last straw. Yes, you may have solitude, silence, singing, satisfaction, but if you do not surrender to the lordship of Christ in your life. It's not just one aspect, but all of it. It will be hard to move forward for 2023. Abiding almost be impossible. But when you consider yourself a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, I'm sure, dearly beloved, that abiding in Christ will be possible by God's grace, giving glory to God. Now, I know maybe some, you guys sitting right now there, you can add more S to this list. So meditate on John 15. These are the S's. And I hope, maybe starting tonight, maybe you who have given yourself an F this year, maybe you can start tonight. Start with one of these S's. Better yet, by God's grace, if it's really going to be hard, Lord, help me. Start with all of these S's. Maybe there's one area in your life that you haven't surrendered to Christ. Maybe you don't have time of solitude and silence in your life. And worship. And your satisfaction is on something else. Dearly beloved, abide in Christ. Don't make me preach this sermon again next year. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your word. You delight, O Lord, in the abiding of your children. Thank you that you made it all possible through the work of Christ. That's where it all began, when we realize that we are sinners and we are devoid of any access to you. But through Christ's blood, we are able to attain being fellow heirs, co-heirs in Christ. And Lord, dare we not stop there. Help us that the coming days and weeks and months and years will be one that is highlighted by our abiding in Christ. Lord, let this coming years be different than these past years. If we really haven't truly abided in you, it's a concept that's elusive to us. I pray that this year will be different by your grace. As the world and Satan or enemy try to, again, use its fiery darts on us, which often work because he knows our weaknesses, Lord, by your grace, help us to be intentional in the disciplines of silence, solitude, singing or worship, satisfaction in Christ, surrender. Oh, I pray, O Lord, that you will be glorified through this. So Lord, whether young or old tonight, I pray that we will all be challenged and we will have this resolution. We will abide in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.